Welcome. It's Sunday, March 19th, 2023. This is the fourth Sunday of Lent. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. And the title of our message this week is The Blame Game. So if you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Jesus heals a man born blind. Starting at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, and while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in a pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But the others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight. Until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "We know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." Well, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." Well, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see." Well, then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" They threw him out. Well, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." But some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture today, it reminds us of the dangers of casting misguided blame. You know, people blaming others because of their misguided beliefs. Don't we all have a tendency to play the blame game? Well, this fourth Sunday of Lent, we all need to recognize that our Lord and Savior was sent to the cross because of the blame cast on him by the misguided beliefs of the people of his day. And we still today send Christ to the cross, placing the blame on him for our misguided beliefs. I mean, aren't we all many times like the little girl who was riding along on her bike when she bumped her head on a low-hanging branch of a tree and she ran into the house crying, "Mommy, Mommy, Joe, you hurt me." Well, her mom looked up from what she was doing and she said patiently, "Sissy, Joey didn't hurt you. Joey's not even here. He went to the grocery store with your dad." Well, the little girl got a startled look on her face. Then in bewildered voice, the little girl asked, "Does that mean stuff like this can happen on its own at any time, with no one being at fault?" Well, then she added, "Whoa, bummer." Well, it is a bummer. Bad things can happen at any time to anyone. And sometimes there's no one to blame. Well, in today's text from John's Gospel, Jesus' disciples encountered a man blind from birth. The disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, there it is, that question. Who is to blame for this man's misfortune? Somehow, if we can just affix blame, we think it will make the situation better. There will at least be some meaning to the event, maybe even a solution. If there's somebody to blame, it means there is a way of gaining control over life. If bad things just happen, with no one to blame, then there's no control. And that's scary. The blame game, it's been around since the Garden of Eden. I mean, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" the disciples asked. Well, in reality, it's an absurd question, of course. How could a man born blind be responsible for his predicament? Did he sin in his mother's womb? Kick his mother a little too hard, perhaps? Well, if you follow that line of thinking, you're left with only one viable conclusion. It must be his parents' fault. Can you imagine how hurtful this explanation would be to this man's parents? Not only would their precious son never be able to see, but it was somehow their fault. They had offended God sometime in the past, maybe without even realizing it, and this was their punishment. For most of us, this is an absurd line of thinking. It really makes God look like a second-rate deity. And yet, there are many sincere Christian people who, when something tragic happens in their life, ask, "Did I somehow cause this? Is God punishing me for some transgression of which I'm not even aware? Does God make little children suffer because their parents have somehow offended him?" Well, that may have been the disciples' thought process when they questioned Jesus about it. Jesus' answer to his disciples' question is intriguing. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." I mean, what does that mean? How can an affliction, particularly one as deliberating as blindness, display the work of God? Well, let's look for a few moments at the story. So first of all, we see Christ heals this man born blind, and that's important. It is not God's will that this man or any man or woman, whoever they may be blind. I mean, blindness comes from many sources. They might be the result of a trauma or disease. In a man born blind, it may be damage to a gene was responsible. We don't know. However, we do know this. If you are blind, physically blind, you are not that way because God willed it. If you have cancer or some other adverse condition, it's not because God willed it. If you're going through a devastating time financially, it's not because God willed it. For God's will is always for wholeness and health. God's will is for your needs to be met. That is why Christ healed this man. Healing is God's will. And that fact is so important for us to understand. If we are going through a time of extreme heartache and we insist on playing the blame game, we may be cutting ourselves off from the very power that can heal us. I mean, notice how Christ heals this man. According to our text, he spits on the ground and makes some mud with the saliva and puts it on the man's eyes. Then he tells the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the blind man might have responded to Jesus' actions in many ways. He could have said, "This is dumb. How in the world could putting mud on my eyes heal me? I'm not going to move one inch. It's ridiculous." Well, that's how many of us might have responded, particularly if we had let our blindness defeat us, make us bitter, cause us to give up on God. That's how this man could have responded. I can't help but believe that this man's healing was connected to the positive way he responded to Jesus' command. John indicates to us that the man immediately went to the pool, washed in the pool, and came home seeing. He responded in faith, and his faith was rewarded. So we don't know why Jesus used this particular method of healing on this man. I have no doubt Jesus could have simply spoken and the same result would have been accomplished. Maybe it was important to Jesus to see this man do his part by washing in the pool. However, here's what the man's healing says to me. If you have some tragedy in your life or in the life of someone you love, believe that God's will is for healing. Look for that healing. Work for that healing. Never give up hope. Just as Christ healed the man born blind from birth, God's will is for all God's children to be well, to be strong. Isn't that true of all life? If you have a hurt of any kind or a need of any kind, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or financial or whatever it may be, don't sit around wondering who is to blame. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Focus on God's desire for healing. Do what you can to bring healing. Focus on it. Expect it. At least believe that God wants to heal your heart, your attitude, your feelings about your hurt or need. Put yourself in the frame of mind to receive whatever healing God may have for you. Remember, God can use even the most adverse circumstances for our best good. I mean, that's what Paul wrote to the believers in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Well, God can use even the most adverse circumstances to bring a blessing into our life. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's a hard thing to remember when you're going through difficult times, but it's true. God can use any circumstance. When you are going through a difficult time, look for some way this can be used to God's glory. Let it make you better rather than bitter. Well, years ago, God led me to write a song titled "A Door." So let me share it with you. If you're in our worship service today, I'll sing it for you. If not, let me share at least the words with you. Titled "A Door." Well, she's cold and looking for someone to be with through lonely nights. And days alone, she walks to an empty church, and she prays to God, "Be by my side, for I'm afraid, afraid of lonely nights." A prayer that's worth praying is heard by God and always, yes, always opens a door. A door was left open wide, and he goes to close it tight and sees a girl on her knees in prayer. She prays to God, "Be by my side, for I'm afraid, afraid of lonely nights." A prayer that's worth praying is heard by God and always, yes, always opens eyes. Eyes with tears from lonely years sees him and he says, "Hi, it's cold outside. The door was left open wide. Excuse me for disturbing you. Well, that prayer you prayed, I've often prayed it too." A prayer that's worth praying is heard by God and always, yes, always opens a door. Well, whenever I sing that song, I like to remind the hearers of the verse found in Isaiah 65:24. "Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear." So when you're going through a difficult time, pray like the girl in the song. Pray that it can be used to God's glory. Let it make you better rather than bitter. And that brings us to the final thing to be said. The most tragic blindness is the blindness of the heart. It's interesting that this should have been the most joyful day in this man's life. He had been blind all his life. And then to this man, Jesus came by and did something quite remarkable. I mean, he took some dirt and some of his own saliva and made mud. And then he put it on the man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man did as he was told. And then he came home able to see. And that's an extraordinary miracle. A man who had never seen anything before now had his vision. Shouldn't someone throw him a party? Well, his neighbors didn't. Some of them refused to believe this was the same man they had known. It didn't fit their theology. They had never known a blind man who was healed, and they refused to accept him. Neither did the leaders of the synagogue. In fact, they threatened to throw him out of the synagogue if he didn't recant his testimony that Jesus had healed him. You see, his neighbors and the leaders in his synagogue were blinder than this man had ever been. They were blind to who Christ was. They were blind to what God was doing in their midst. They let their own petty interests and experiences blind them to a richer understanding of the blessings God had in store for them. They weren't bad people. They were simply locked into a certain way of thinking about life and about God. They didn't see the bigger picture. You and I need to expand our thinking about our lives to see God's perspective on things that happen to us. Rather than trying to find someone to blame when something bad occurs in our life, we need to affirm that God's will is always for our best good. God wants us to be well. God wants to see that our needs are provided. And in times of suffering, remind yourself, first of all, of that truth. God wants me to be well. Second, remind yourself that all things work to the good for those who love God. Look for ways that God can use your present adversity for good. Perhaps this experience will make you stronger. Maybe this experience will make you more compassionate toward the struggles of others. Maybe this experience will draw you closer to God. And finally, pray that God will help you see the bigger picture. Pray that you will sense God's will for your life. It may be that you, up to this point, you too have been blind. Pray that God will help you see God's hand, God's plan, and your place in it. As the prophet Isaiah recorded in 65:24, "Before they call, I will answer. For while they were still speaking, I will hear." And remind yourself of what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Don't play the blame game. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.